content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to a new year. This is our January 2025 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of December 2024 at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin the program this month with a look at a novel by Lee and Andrew Child, a brother combination there. It's called In Too Deep, and it is a Jack Reacher novel. This number one New York Times bestseller, the gripping new Jack Reacher thriller from the best-selling authors Lee Child and Andrew Child. Now, Reacher had no idea where he was. No idea how he had gotten there, but someone must have brought him and shackled him, and whoever had done those things was going to rue the day. That was for damn sure, as they say in this article. Jack Reacher wakes up alone in the dark, handcuffed to a makeshift bed. His right arm has suffered some major damage. His few possessions are gone, and he has no memory of getting there. The last thing Reacher can recall is the car he hitched a ride in getting run off the road. The driver was killed. His captors assume Reacher was the driver's accomplice and patch up his wounds as they plan to make him talk. A plan that will backfire spectacularly. Once again, the book is called In Too Deep. It is a Jack Reacher novel, and it was written by Lee and Andrew Child. Now let's turn to a book by Michael Connelly. This is a relatively new book, came out within the last year. It's called The Waiting. LAPD Detective Renee Ballard tracks a serial rapist whose trail has gone cold and enlists a new volunteer to the Open Unsolved Unit, Patrol Officer Maddie Bosch, Harry's daughter. Here's the plot for this one. Renee Ballard and the LAPD's Open Unsolved Unit get a hotshot DNA connection between a recently arrested man and a serial rapist and murderer who went quiet two decades ago. Now, the arrested man is only 24, so the genetic link must be familial. His father was the pillowcase rapist responsible for a 5-year reign of terror in the City of Angels. But when Ballard and her team move in on their suspect, they encounter a baffling web of secrets and legal hurdles. Meanwhile, Ballard's badge, gun, and ID are stolen, a theft she can't report without giving her enemies in the department ammunition to end her career as a detective. She works the burglary alone, but her mission draws her into unexpected danger, with no choice but to go outside the department for help. She knocks on the door of Harry Bosch. At the same time, Ballard takes on a new volunteer to the cold case unit, Bosch's daughter Maddie, now a patrol officer. But Maddie has an ulterior motive for getting access to the city's Library of Lost Souls, a case that may be the most iconic in the city's history. Complex, satisfying, and full of dexterous twists, The Waiting demonstrates once more that you can't do better than Michael Connelly. And now, as an addition to this new book by Michael Connelly, I have a review for you that was written by Judy Holtz in October 2024. And I think sometimes the reviews add a little more in-depth information and may make you a little bit more interested in the book than just hearing the summary itself. Let's hear what Judy Holst has to say. If you love the Harry Bosch television series, along with Bosch Legacy, then you will like The Waiting as well, she says. It's like watching Bosch or The Lincoln Lawyer, but this time, Renee Ballard is the key character. I don't know how Michael Connelly does it, but all of his books are a slam dunk. Now, these are her thoughts specifically about this book. This is definitely an easy read, the reviewer says. I liked learning more about Renee Ballard and her personal life. Connelly does a great job of showing what it's like to live in Los Angeles, the good and the bad. Most importantly, though, I found it fascinating what detectives go through to solve cold cases. Detectives need to follow specific steps for a chain in command. It was also interesting to read about some of the technology available to them today. Renee's team of people on the Open Unsolved Unit made the story interesting and added to the storyline. I read this book quickly, she says. I wanted to find out if the cases were going to be solved or not. It is definitely worth getting. You might also like these other books by Connelly, the reviewer says, The Lincoln Lawyer and Resurrection Walk. I gave this book 4 out of 5 stars. It's called The Waiting by Michael Connelly, and the review I just read was written by Judy Holst in October of 2024. Now let's take a look at a new book by Patricia Daniels Cornwell. The book is entitled Identity Unknown. Here's the plot for this one. The death of an old friend who was more than a friend sends Dr. Kay Scarpetta down her latest rabbit hole. If everybody tells a story, the corpse of 7-year-old Luna Briley sings the blues. On top of the many signs of ongoing physical abuse, there's the fatal gunshot wound to her head. Ryder and Piper Briley, the wealthy and powerful parents who didn't call the police until after their daughter died, insist that Luna's death was an accident or maybe a suicide. Scarpetta doesn't think so, and her refusal to release the body to the Briley's hand-picked mortician moves them to legal action against her as Virginia's chief medical examiner. Now, you'd think it would be a relief to put this case aside for another when Scarpetta's niece, Secret Service agent Lucy Farinelli, calls her and ferries her by helicopter to an abandoned Oz theme park owned by Ryder Briley. But this one's even more heartbreaking. Scarpetta is there to examine the body of astrophysicist Sal Giordano, her close friend and former lover, who was evidently kidnapped, held in captivity for several hours, and tossed out of an unidentified aircraft. The leading suspects are the Brileys, Carrie Gretchen, Lucy's sociopathic ex-lover, with whom Scarpetta has repeatedly tangled in the past, and the UFO that dumped Giordano's body without leaving the usual traces for air traffic technologies to pick up. Now, the multiple rounds of physical examination Scarpetta conducts on both victims are every bit as meticulous and gripping as fans would expect. The killer's identity is neither surprising nor interesting, but Cornwell juggles her trademark forensics and the paranormal hints she's become increasingly invested in, more dexterously than usual. Expert, but unsurprising. That's the way you might describe the new book by Patricia Daniels Cornwell. It's called Identity Unknown. Now here's another new book, this one by Karen Slaughter. This one is called This Is Why We Lied, by Karen Slaughter. Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent Will Trent and medical examiner Sarah Linton honeymoon at a family lodge that includes breathtaking landscapes, varied guests, troubled family dynamics, and murder. McAlpine Family Lodge manager Mercy McAlpine has been an outcast within her family ever since David McAlpine, an orphan whom her parents adopted, got her pregnant at age 15. To her enduring shame, her relatives, from her aunt Delilah to her own brother Christopher, took Dave to their hearts even as they squeezed her out, snatching baby John from her to be raised mostly by Delilah. Well, 16 years later, when her father, Cecil, plans to sell the lodge whose operation Mercy's poured herself into, she's had enough, and evidently so have they. Hours after she announces her intention to ruin the lives of any family members who vote with Cecil to sell the place to Max Brower and Sidney Flynn for $12 million, Will finds her fatally stabbed near Lake McAlpine, and she dies in his arms. The half-dozen other guests are icing on the cake, since every one of Mercy's relatives had a powerful motive to kill her. The honeymoon isn't exactly over, but Will tells Sarah she'd be committed to investigating, even if Chuck, the fellow guest who tormented Will in the orphanage where they both grew up, weren't on hand as Christopher's lecherous best friend. The high-octane story inevitably lags when Faith Mitchell, Will's partner in the GBI, arrives to question the suspects. But the shattering climax reveals that the McAlpine family is even more dysfunctional than you imagined. One character nails it. This is an Agatha Christie locked room mystery with a V.C. Andrews twist. And this is a book that is called This Is Why We Lied, and it's by Karen Slaughter. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. Let's look at another book, this one very popular this past month, of course, December, and it's called Santa and Company, and it's by Fern Michaels. Friends since high school, four 30-something women reunite for a Christmas ski trip filled with a few unexpected bumps and lots of laughter in this humorous, heartwarming celebration of female friendship from number one New York Times bestselling author Fern Michaels. Here's the plot for this one. When longtime friends Amy, Frankie, Rachel, and Nina reunited for a holiday singles cruise, it not only deepened their bond, it changed their lives. Now they're getting together for another adventure, and what better winter setting than a fabulous ski lodge? Crisp snow and fresh air by day, cozy fires and delicious food by night. Capped off by meeting up with their significant others for a New Year's Eve celebration. It's perfect. At least it's perfect until Frankie decides to go snowshoeing alone. When she twists her ankle right after losing her phone in the snow, Frankie wonders how she'll be able to summon help, only to be rescued by a reclusive Grizzly Adams lookalike who lives nearby and introduces himself as Troy Manchester. Now, Troy saves the day by helping the injured Frankie back to the ski lodge, but in the process encounters a part of the L.A. life he's tried to leave behind. Nina, visiting the gift shop to buy magazines for recuperating Frankie, is similarly shocked to glimpse someone to whom she was once connected. Even in this unlikely spot, it seems there's no way to avoid their pasts. And as the mischievous Rachel and her sidekick Amy go to great lengths to patch up old friendships and spread the spirit of the season, the new year may contain all kinds of new beginnings. This was a very popular book during the Christmas season this past month, Santa and Company by Fern Michaels. Now a new one from James Patterson. This book was co-written with Brian Sitz, and it is called Murder Island. Professor Brant Savage, a grandson of the legendary hero Doc Savage, is back in a new action-adventure thriller. Here's the plot on this one. They thought they found heaven on Earth, but their paradise becomes a nightmare when Professor Brant Savage and his girlfriend Kira Sunlight stumble on a terrifying conspiracy. When Professor turned crime fighter Brant, Doc Savage, and his girlfriend Kira Sunlight land on a desert island in the middle of the Atlantic, they think they found a perfect utopia, an escape from their tumultuous pasts. But they don't have long to enjoy their newfound peace before they are violently separated and dragged to opposite ends of the earth. Doc's search for Kira takes him from the coast of Brazil to northern Europe and the jungles of the Congo, and he discovers they are entangled in a global conspiracy that is bigger than he ever thought he could have imagined. Sounds like an interesting story there. It's called Murder Island by very popular author James Patterson, along with Brian Sitz. Now let's take a look at another very popular author, Freda McFadden, and this is a new book by her. It is entitled Ward D. Medical student Amy Brenner is spending the night on a locked psychiatric ward. Now, Amy has been dreading her evening working on Ward D, the hospital's inpatient mental health unit. There are very specific reasons why she never wanted to do this required overnight rotation, reasons nobody can ever find out. And as the hours tick by, Amy grows increasingly convinced that something terrible is happening within these tightly secured walls. When patients and staff start to vanish without a trace, it becomes clear that everyone on the unit is in grave danger. Amy's worst nightmare was spending the night on Ward D, and now she might never escape. Alicia Hammond's thoughts from March 2024. This is a reviewer named Hammond, and here's what she had to say. It might help make this a little clearer as a plot. Ward D is one of Frida's best, she says. My only complaint is that the way the mental illnesses were portrayed isn't exactly accurate and could be misleading if you're unaware. But I like the characters, love the plot, and it keeps me on the edge of my seat the entire time. The twist in Ward D was good, although because I've read so many of her books, I could see it coming. Overall, I'd recommend this one if you enjoy fast-paced thrillers with interesting endings. I rated Ward D 4 stars. It's definitely worth reading if this is your genre. And that was some thoughts in a short review by Alicia Hammond. And those were written in March of last year. It was a new book last year. Now here's a new one by Dean Ray Koontz, very popular author. We hear from him a lot on this program. This new book is called After Death. A modern-day Lazarus is humanity's last hope in a breathtaking novel about the absolute powers of good and evil by Dean Koontz. Here's the plot. Michael Mace, head of security at a top-secret research facility, opens his eyes in a makeshift morgue 24 hours following an event in which everyone perished, including him and his best friend, Shelby Shrewsbury. Having awakened with an extraordinary ability unlike anything he or anyone else has ever imagined, Michael is capable of being as elusive as a ghost. He sets out to honor his late friend by helping Nina Dozier and her son John, whom Shelby greatly admired. Although what Michael does for Nina is life-changing, his actions also evoke the wrath of John's father, a member of one of the most violent street gangs in Los Angeles. But an even greater threat is descending, the Internal Security Agency's most vicious assassin, Duran Caliphus. Caliphus will stop at nothing to get his man. If Michael dies twice, he will not live a third time. But the tarnished glamour of Beverly Hills to the streets of South Central to a walled estate in Rancho Santa Fe, only Michael can protect Nina and John and ensure that light survives in a rapidly darkening world. Again, this book is called After Death, and it's a new one by Dean Ray Koontz. Now let's take a look at another popular book with a Christmas theme that was very popular during the month of December. It was called, and it is called, The Christmas Inn, and it's by Pamela M. Kelly. Here's the plot for this one. A feel-good novel as delightful and comforting as a cup of hot chocolate on a cold winter's night. The Christmas Inn is best-selling author Pamela Kelly's most heartwarming and magical book yet. Riley Sanders didn't plan on losing her job as a content marketing manager right before Christmas. When she calls her sister Amy to vent, she learns that their mother has broken her leg and could really use some help at the inn. Riley decides to head home to the inn, nestled along the shores of Cape Cod, in time for the Christmas rush. She is happy to help and needs something to distract her as mistletoe is hung and snowflakes begin to fall. When she gets there at the inn, she not only finds delicious cookies and a crackling fire to lift her spirits, but also the sense of family she's been missing all along. There's Franny, a woman who has just lost her sister and has four unopened letters from her that she plans to use to open her up to new experiences on the Cape. And there's Aiden, her high school sweetheart, now a widower, who is staying at the inn with his 9-year-old son, Luke. What begins as a quick stayover over the holidays to help her mom turns into something that means much, much more. A second chance at romance, a deeper sense of found family, and all the joy and wonder that comes with Christmas time on Cape Cod. It sounds like a delightful book. No wonder it was so popular during December. It's called The Christmas Inn, and it's by Pamela M. Kelly. Now let's talk about a book from the acclaimed author of The Longest Ride and The Notebook. It's an emotional, powerful novel about wondering if we can change or even make our peace with the path that we have taken. This is a book called Counting Miracles by Nicholas Sparks. Tanner Hughes was raised by his grandparents, following in his grandfather's military footsteps to become an Army Ranger. His whole life has been spent abroad, and he is the proverbial Rolling Stone, happiest when off on his next adventure, zero desire to settle down. But when his grandmother passes away, her last words to him are, "Find where you belong." She also drops a bombshell, telling him the name of the father he never knew and where to find him. Tanner is due at his next posting soon, but his curiosity is piqued, and he sets out for Asheboro, North Carolina, to ask around. He's been in town less than 24 hours when he meets Caitlin Cooper, a doctor and single mom. Now, they both feel an immediate connection. Tanner knows Caitlin has a story to tell, and he wants to hear it. To Caitlin, Tanner is mysterious, exciting, and possibly leaving in just a few weeks. Meanwhile, nearby, 83-year-old Jasper lives alone in a cabin bordering a national forest. With only his old dog, Arlo, for company, he lives quietly, haunted by a tragic accident that took place decades before. When he heard rumors that a white deer has been spotted in the forest, a creature of legend that inspired his father and his grandfather, he becomes obsessed with protecting the deer from poachers. As these characters' fates orbit closer together, none of them is expecting a miracle. But that may be exactly what is about to alter their futures forever. Once again, this is a book called Counting Miracles by the very popular author Nicholas Sparks, who, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, also the author of the very popular book The Notebook and The Longest Ride. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program this month. If you would like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library. Or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. I'll give you that number again, 888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.